League of 117, this is your podcast for week number 3. As we move into this week's topics, we need to keep in mind the principles behind an agency's very existence and mode of operation. The topics of this week are the processes and tools or methods an agency may use to initiate an inquiry, to start the process of addressing a concern or issue with a particular party, and provide known mechanisms for cooperation, reporting, and compliance from that party. By their nature, we expect agencies to keep a reasonable, watchful eye on the businesses or sectors of society the agency was created to regulate. But most agency processes, most administrative law processes, aren't focused on penalties. Now, there may be penalties involved, but a lot of the processes bend over backwards to try to get compliance. What we want are people to follow the law, to be safe, to do the things that are expected in the law, you know, to take care of things that benefit their neighbor, their society, them, their industry. So we're focused on compliance. Agencies make decisions after information is gathered during agency investigations. And as we've identified in our discussions, and as you'll identify in this discussion, some of the agency's process can be informal and some of it formal, up to a decision. But the decision is reached with the specified process and protections of the people involved. Now, as we know, the basis of an agency's jurisdiction is established in its enabling statute or its enabling ordinance or law. These statutes allow the agency to establish rules and regulations that dictate that whoever is to be regulated has to keep certain records. The records can be requested, reviewed, and lead to inspections and investigations by the agency or voluntary compliance and submission to reviews and certain remedial action. It's only when you don't follow the process, you don't keep the records, you don't do the things you're supposed to, that you're going to run afoul of the agency. You know this if you own a vehicle. You know this if you own a pet, a dog or a cat. Or, I don't know if the guy who brings a goat to the farmer's market downtown lets the goat pee and poop all over the place. I can't let my dog do that. I don't know if that goat has to have a rabies shot or if the same things apply. But the point is, there's expectations, right? If you don't do those things, you get in trouble. If you don't maintain your sticker on your vehicle, you may lose your driver's license. All of that is administrative. Secretary of State's administrative. All those processes are administrative law. Now, yeah, you might have to go to the courthouse because you might get a ticket for a moving violation under the Illinois Vehicle Code. The ticket comes from the police officer and you got to go to traffic court. Well, that's not related to the status of your driver's license or the operation of your vehicle. Agencies get to businesses or to us via licenses or privileges granted under the purpose of the agency, under the things that the agency regulates or controls. A license is a permission granted by the agency to engage in an activity such as driving or running a business or owning a pet. Licenses comply with standards and regulations of the agency. They're typically granted after an application form has been submitted, typically after you pay some sort of fee, and typically after you do some sort of thing. If we're concerned about a business client and protections from unreasonable collection of information by the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, as we know from, or as you will know from the cases this week, the cases that you see this week, the Fourth Amendment protects clients from an improper search or inspection. And each Fourth Amendment analysis always revolves on whether or not the search, regardless of the setting, was reasonable under those circumstances. Most situations don't reach that level unless there's been some sort of communication that is intended to discover things a little further, discover further facts, and, as I said, get compliance. Most situations, most processes want compliance. Now, there are circumstances where the agency or the agency personnel go off the rails a little bit. They get a little ahead of themselves. And rather than have that focus on compliance or cooperation, they go right to trying to enforce their authority and enforce penalties. For whatever reason, misdirection, influence from parties, politicians, members of the community, public scrutiny, but they do. Many years ago, there used to be a tavern on the south side of Peoria, if you're familiar with where the UFS store is, about a block from there. The tavern was a business that was run by my friend's family. For much of my friend's life, they lived in the rear of this tavern, his early life, childhood life. Tavern was in the front of what had been a converted house, and in the back was a big kitchen area and living area, and then bedrooms up above. And the family lived there when my friend was a youngster. In any event, we go on, become adults. And my friend's mother, who is this sweet immigrant lady from Lebanon, who could cook like nobody's business and loved to feed everybody, had been providing soup, or chili, or something like that. Just some kind of hot meal. Sometimes like some Italian beef or something like that. Something that could be kept in a crock pot in the back of the bar. Now, she didn't offer it for sale. She didn't give it to everybody. But being a older neighborhood tavern, there were some regulars who came in. Individuals who lived in the neighborhood who themselves were maybe a little older, and they weren't taking care of themselves, or she didn't think they were, and so she would feed them. Somewhere along the line, somebody reported her to the health department because she had a license to sell alcohol, to be a bar. But she didn't have a license to sell food. She didn't have the health department seal to do that. So one day, and this is when I was still back in practice of law, I'm in my office in the morning, and she calls up and she says, she always called me honey. She said, "Honey, can you come for lunch?" She said, my friend, her son Fred would be there, and his cousin, my friend Bud, and my friend Bud was a firefighter, and I didn't see him all too often, but so I knew that lunch would be unbelievable, and I knew that I'd like to see my friends, and I didn't have anything going for lunch, so I said, sure. So I go down to Joe's Jeep Tap and, go in the back where the kitchen was. Table's all set. My buddies are there. The door opens and my friend's mom comes in with the health inspector. She introduces the health inspector to her son, and she introduces the health inspector to her nephew, the firefighter, and then she introduces the health inspector to me, her lawyer. And the health inspector is looking a little bit puzzled. She hands me the documents that are concerned with her providing food to customers, and I knew what had happened or what she was doing and why she was doing it. And she invites the health inspector to sit down and have lunch with us and we can discuss it. Initially, he hesitated. But the smell of the kitchen and the smell of the food, and as she started to dish out the salad alone, which is the first course, was so unbelievable. When I said, hey, why don't you just sit down next to me and we could talk about this. And he sat down next to me and we had our salad. And then we had a plate with some steak and some veggies, some unbelievable veggies. She had some other stuff on the table, some hummus and veggies and some pita bread. We ate. Before we got to dessert, he understood what she was doing, that she was putting this crock out there, that she was providing food to just people who she thought were in need. She was never selling it. And he saw the kitchen and he saw the setup, and by now he had eaten a stomach full of food. We left with the agreement that she would keep the crocks of food or the food that she was cooking for that purpose in the back, in the kitchen, and that she would go and retrieve a plate or a bowl or whatever for the people she wanted to give food to. And it wouldn't be out on the bar and it wouldn't be out wherever other people could see it, but she could still keep doing what she was going to do. Informal, highly informal. I ran the building code and housing code courtrooms for the city of Peoria and for Pekin, and did administrative hearings for East Peoria, Creve Coeur. I guess I did housing and code for Creve Coeur as well, and did vehicle impoundments for those three, and then East Peoria and Market Heights. On top of those three, I did vehicle impoundments. That's an administrative process. Not so much with the vehicle impoundments, because those were predicated on typically on criminal activity by the person who had possession of the vehicle. So a different story. But very much on the housing building code cases, I always pushed and insisted on the focus being about compliance, because that's what the ordinances wanted. That's what the public policy of those ordinances wanted. It wasn't to collect fines. It was to make sure that the person living next to you had a house that looked as good as yours did, that your property values weren't drugged down by somebody who didn't cut the grass or keep their house painted or keep garbage and junk out of their yard, those kind of things, to make sure neighborhoods stayed safe by keeping property up, by making sure buildings were safe for people. I had some of the properties were in the news, multi-million dollar properties that were dilapidated because of out-of-town property owners that didn't put money back into them, and people were living in conditions they shouldn't have been forced to live in. I mean, one of my ones I remember was, part of the evidence was The laundry room in this building of a multi-building complex had raw sewage coming up to the laundry room, and a representative for the landlord, this out-of-town landlord, wanted to say, well, it wasn't that bad and they could still use two of the washers and dryers. You kidding me? Who goes to a laundry room? Typically, it's mothers, but often parents with young children. You know, I went to the laundromat with my mother. She had four kids in tow. So, those kind of things. We focused on getting compliance because even in that heinous, unforgivable circumstance, right? Fining that party, yeah, maybe they should have been fined, but what we really wanted was compliance, because you know what compliance brought? If they complied and they got that mess cleaned up and the tenants could go and use the laundry without any raw sewage and it was kept up clean, up to code, they weren't going to get any sort of injury or illness from using the facilities, that's quality of life. And that's what the ordinance wanted. The ordinance wanted quality of life, wanted people to keep their property up for health, safety, and aesthetics. That's what agency law is typically about. And it goes back to what we've talked about a few times now already, even in the first 3 weeks, that's one of the reasons that the fourth branch of government, administrative processes, can be viewed as being more efficient than some of the things that, if you're taking civil litigation or criminal law, that go through the criminal or civil sides of a courthouse. You have the same body that is investigating, discussing compliance, deciding if somebody doesn't comply, and enforcing whatever the remedy is to get compliance. Yes, you have the oversight of the courts, but most things don't go up on review. Most things don't go up on review. And review is something we're going to talk about next week, judicial review. This is your podcast, week number 3 of Administrative Law, Legal 117. I appreciate your efforts the first couple weeks. If you need me, you know where to find me.